Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open this July 21st, 2018. It is 8:02 in the morning. And if you have a legal question, hey, we're here to help. Why worry? Why not get a second opinion? Why not get a little different slant on things, perhaps? Why not let us try to lead you in the right direction? All you have to do is to call if you have a legal question or just a problem. Hey, call the show at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You have a problem or concern about maybe estate planning? Want to know if your out-of-state will is any good in Florida? You want to know what the difference in laws are maybe between states? Maybe you have an elderly parent who you're worried about in their estate plan. And maybe you're worried about maybe an estate going on right now where you don't feel like you're being treated properly or giving the proper information. Maybe you have an on-the-job problem, next-door neighbor problem. I mean, it could be a traffic, real estate, family law, divorce, guardianship. Hey, whatever your legal situation is, I'm host of Ask an Attorney now for over 34 years and running and continually every week, usually on multiple stations. And actually, most of the time, multiple times during the week, have been on hosted a show like this, Ask an Attorney, where people can call in and ask legal questions. It's probably not too much you could ask me. I haven't been asked lots and lots of times before or dealt with in the office. We have 7 attorneys in our firm, 20 office locations around Florida. I was actually nationally syndicated on Ask an Attorney for a couple of years. Hey, and I'm glad to be here. I still look forward to coming in every Saturday morning to do a live show. All right, we have a first caller already. Let's go to John in Bradenton. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Fine. Nice talking to you. Question on trusts and assets. Let's say a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
There's I can list the beneficiary of the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Should I put the beneficiary of the bank account and name the trust as beneficiary, or should I rename the bank account, you know, the whole account into the name of the trust?
All right, of course, you could do it either way. I think it's better just to rename the account.
Okay.
Here's why. Before it hits okay. If you just name the trust as a beneficiary on the account, then you have to die before it gets there.
Okay.
All right, because you've named them a beneficiary. If you rename the account in the name of the trust and you become incapacitated before death, yep. your successor trustee can get to the asset for your benefit while you're living.
Okay.
So there's no reason to wait until death, to have the account get into the trust. Might as well do it now. That'd be the best thing to do.
And then, does that tie in with protection from, let's say, I get put into a long-term care facility, and to isolate that asset from, say, to qualify for Medicaid?
No, qualifying for Medicaid would be something different that you would do. We have a full-time Medicaid attorney on staff. In fact, he's written several books on all this. We've had thousands of Medicaid cases where we're able to reposition assets once a person learns that they're going to go into the nursing home. So in about a 60-day window, if somebody's on private pay and they're listening to the radio show right now, if somebody's on private pay, we could probably reposition their assets into different categories and probably qualify them for Medicaid and preserve the estate.
Okay.
the power attorneys that we do for clients have some special powers. We get them to initial to be for the power attorney to be able to actually do that.
Okay. And I should just wait for when you announce your phone number to get in touch with that Medicaid attorney on your staff.
You can just contact me. I mean, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about it, then probably connect you too.
All right,
and I'll give you my number now. In Pinellas, well, we have an office in Sun City Center, and you're calling from Bradenton. So we have an office in Manatee as well, and we have an office in Liquid Ranch. But anyway, the toll-free office number is just 800-226-3529.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for your answers.
All right, my pleasure. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. That's me, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, hey, I'd like to help. All you have to do is call 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Phyllis in Bradenton. Hey, Phyllis.
Yes?
Yes, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, sir. I was calling Mr. Pippen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Whether there was anything called grandparents' rights?
Actually, that's a great question, and unfortunately the answer is grandparents don't have very many rights in Florida. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you concerned about the child who may be in any danger in any way?
Not really. He's 4 years old. He's been in my life since he's been 4 years old. Maybe around April, his mom just automatically cut off me seeing him. I called. She wouldn't answer the phone. She won't let me see him. I tried to reach out to her relatives. They won't talk to me. So I don't know whether it's any danger, but sometimes I do kind of wonder, you know, if something might have happened. They just don't want to. I don't know. It's my son's son, and my son is incarcerated. But I asked someone about it. They said, well, you really can't do too much because when he was born, your son was incarcerated, so he didn't sign a birth certificate. No blood test has been done, but the mom said that it is, you know, your grandson. So, and I don't.
Yeah, grandparents have very limited rights in this particular circumstance. You can't make the mother let you see the child, basically. So your only really approach is if you found some evidence that the child was in jeopardy. The mother was doing drugs. The mother wasn't a good mother. The mother did this. The mother did that. If you could have some evidence of that, you might be able to petition the court to become the guardian of the child just for the child's safety. But just visitation rights, when there's nothing like that going on, you really have an uphill battle.
Okay. Do you think I could maybe, like, just call... Maybe to do like a welfare check, call an officer just to do like a welfare check, just to.
I doubt the police will do that unless you have some cause.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty.
All right. Sorry. How long will your son be in prison?
He gets out next year.
All right. Well, there's hope. Something for you to look forward to.
Yeah. Alrighty. Thank
all right.
you.
All right. Thanks. Hey, you're listening. You ask an attorney all about Florida law. It's a live call-in show where you can call in with a question or just a problem situation you're in, and if I can help you, I certainly will. Get you pointing in the right direction. You all have a toll-free number to call the show at 877-943-9673. And let's go to Patrick in Orlando. Hey, Patrick.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
Yes, I would like to ask what I'd probably call a hypothetical question. Does a husband have any legal rights to persuade his wife to leave what I would call a secure environment to go somewhere to live?
Upon her death, you mean?
Hmm?
Are you talking about if she died first to leave you a secure
place?
No,
not die. let me repeat the question again. Does a husband has any legal right to persuade his wife to leave what I would call a secure environment to go to do what might be an insecure environment to live?
Well, you have a right to try to persuade your wife to do anything. If you're worried, so you're concerned your wife might, like, sell, the example would be sell your current residence and move.
No, sir. I'm asking on behalf of somebody else.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. So you're asking if basically a husband who's worried about leaving their current location and residence can be forced to move with a spouse to one in another community that's not as safe or secure.
That's correct. But it would be the husband persuading the
yeah.
wife.
Well, that's not a legal question though. There's a spousal persuasion question.
Well, that's why I say I'm just answering the question that you.
I'll say so. The answer to your question would be no. I mean, they have a right to persuade their spouse to do what's right, but they don't have any legal statute to make them do what's right. I mean, as far as that type of question
goes. It's the other way around.
Hey, Patrick, why don't you call me off the air and we can discuss it. Maybe I'll have more time to discuss it with you.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Okay. Let's go to DeSalle in St. Petersburg. Good morning. Are you there? I heard a cutoff.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. How do you pronounce your first name?
Giselle.
All right. What can I do for you?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I have an elderly mother who I have power of attorney with, and she has had for most of her life very low income. So we have been saving for quite a while for burial purposes. Actually, she has desired to be cremated. And we are considering going with a crematory that is not associated with a funeral home. Because they have lower prices,
mm-hmm.
My one concern is what happens between the time you purchased a plan and the time of death if they go out of business. Do most of these places have to guarantee a money-back type of agreement, or what usually happens?
Are you buying some type of an insurance plan, though?
Is that most crematories offer?
They have various plans. Is this part of a national organization?
I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah. I have a person I could refer you to talk about if you want to call me about this. I mean it's
okay.
Not with my firm, it's just someone I know that's very good with answering this type of question and giving you advice on that and what type of plans there are. So hey, if you want to call my office, call 586, you're in Pinellas County, 586-3306.
Okay.
Just go to extension 200 there and probably leave your name and number and I'll call you back.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Josie in Tampa. Hey, Josie. Is Josie there? All right. I guess not. All right. If you have a legal question, you can call the show now. Doing a live show. It is 8:16 on July 21st. Where does time go, man? This year is really running by. If you want to call the show, though, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Vinny. Hey, Vinny, how are you?
Yes.
I guess you're probably tired of my cousin Vinny jokes, right?
Yeah, right.
What can we do for you?
I have a cousin,
Lenny. So I call him Cousin Lenny all the time. So,
well, that can get confusing.
Yep. What can we do for you?
Lenny and Lenny.
All right.
I have a question referencing service animals. I live in a community that's incorporated by the state of Florida. And We do have rules referencing animals in our community. It's a mobile home park, and we don't allow anything over 25 pounds. Okay. What's happened recently is some larger dogs have come into the community, and the people call them service animals. Do the corporation itself have any right to require any form of documentation to certify that these are service animals?
Well, then you have a right to ask for, I have another attorney that really has done several shows on this, actually, and talks about it all the time, and she's probably more adept at answering this question than I do. And you have to be careful of what you ask in these circumstances. Like, you don't have to prove a disability, per se, to have a service animal. I think the answer, though, is that you can request the letter or proof that a service animal is necessary. Of course, a service animal, there's no restrictions on the size of the... In fact, they even have service horses, mini horses or whatever they... but I think you can... You know, if you email me, I will forward that to my attorney, Catherine. If you email me the exact question of what can be asked, I think she's even got some information that she can send you on that. Because
okay.
I wouldn't want to give you wrong information and you ask the wrong question and get in trouble, because there's only certain things you can really ask a person to show that they require a service animal. You can't really ask them what their disability is and why they need it, for example. But if you send me an email, send me an email at Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com. And, you know, it's a good chance that somebody listening to the show will call in and help me with the answer a little bit as well. But if you want to email me, I'll be sure you get an accurate answer from Attorney Catherine, who does this.
Could you give me that email address again?
All right, Joe, just my first name, Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com.
T-I-T or P-I-P?
No, P as in Paul, I-P as in Paul.com.
Very good.
Just the abbreviation for attorney, A-T-T-Y, the first three letters of my last name, PIP.com.
Thank you, Joe. I certainly appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
Let's go to Steve in Jacksonville. Hey, Steve. Steve, are you there? All right. We can just put him on hold until we can get him going here. But if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. We are broadcasting today from Jacksonville, by the way. And we broadcast, I really have two main broadcast locations, either broadcast from Tampa or Jacksonville. But you're listening to one of multiple stations all over Florida that carry the radio show. And no matter where you're listening from, if you're listening to a radio and not like on your computer, we probably have an office very close by. And we don't charge anything for free consults. Met with several people yesterday in Jacksonville. And we offer free reviews of existing estate planning documents and discussions about different options you have in estate planning. If you want to call our office for the toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. If you're in the Jacksonville area and have a kind of an urgent matter to discuss with me, I'd be glad to do that. You can call my cell phone. 727-667-3967. Let's go to Larry in Haines City. Hey, Larry. All right, so Larry, can you hear me? All right, so he's not there either. All right, so anyway, If you have a question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877. Hey, Steve or Larry, if you are trying to get on, call back, because I would love to help you if I possibly can. The toll-free radio station call-in number for this Saturday morning is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open right now. Got a couple drop-offs there or disconnects maybe. I'm not sure. But if you have a question, 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open again and be more than glad to try to help you. We have another caller here. Let's go to Bert calling in. Bert, are you there? Bert, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Bert, what can we do for you?
I had a question for the attorney.
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I've been separated from my wife unofficially for about 7 years and paying her support.
Mm-hmm.
She filed she filed a petition to have that increased and a few other changes. She doesn't want a divorce because of my federal health insurance program. I filed a counter petition for a divorce, and we went to mediation, and there was an impasse. Should I refile my petition for a divorce? She wants to go to court on the other part.
Well, let me ask you this. Has there been a change of circumstances on income on your part?
No. I found out that I've been paying too much.
I see. You know, we have a family law attorney on the show, in our office. Her name is Catherine. And you and your wife have both tried to do this on your own so far without any attorneys involved?
She has an attorney and I don't.
Oh, well, you definitely need one. So at least call and talk to my family law attorney. Her name is Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you the number. It's 727.
Just a minute. 727.
586.
586.
3306.
3306.
Yeah, go to extension 200, and then you'll be connected.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, Josie has called back. Hey, Josie. Josie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
I would like to leave some money for my child in a POD account. What is the amount I can leave where he won't have to pay income tax?
Well, there's no income tax on an inheritance. The only thing that could possibly be taxed would be the built-up income inside of the account. Somebody
the
has, the interest and dividends, which interest,
It's just a money market account, and I have him listed as a POD, so he'll have it when I pass away.
Yeah, so let's say a CD or a money market account was $10,000. You can leave him that tax-free. You can leave up to $11 million tax-free.
Oh, goodness.
So, but if you have built-up income that's never been taxed, like interest, then the tax would have to be paid on that, but not the principal amount.
Well, I'm paying the income tax on it right now, every year.
But suppose you died in November.
Uh-huh.
And
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
In other words, whatever tax is due for that particular year.
Yes.
So I can leave up to $1 million in a POD account?
$11 million, which would include everything.
Wow. Well, I don't have $11 million, but it sounds good.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you own a home?
I do.
Is it a single-family home or manufactured home?
No, a single-family home.
All right. And do you know that if you have a will and leave that to your child?
Well, right now, my daughter has power of attorney, which I know dies when I die.
Right.
But she does have in the trust that she can sell the property.
Okay, so you have a living trust.
Right.
Well, there's no reason to have a paid-on-death account. Just put the account in the living trust. That would avoid probate, too.
Wait, you talk so fast, I want to write down what you said. You do what now?
If you have a living trust, that's good. That's good. That's a good move to have. I think you would not have to have a paid-on-death account. You would just title the financial account in the name of the trust, which would avoid probate. But could be used for your benefit if you become incapacitated.
Okay. Right now, she can write checks on my account. She's listed on my account, but not my son. I just want to leave him some money in case I pass away.
All right. But you can do that in your trust. I think it's a better way to do it than have an account outside the trust paid on death to him.
Tell me that again. I'm sorry. I didn't write that down.
It's better if you had the account in the name of the trust and then just have the trust leave that money to your son. That's a better way to avoid probate.
In the name of
the
trust.
Why don't you call me off the air when we have a little more time to talk?
Okay, I have your number is what?
727-586.
727-586. Uh-huh.
3306.
3306.
Mm-hmm. Extension 200.
Extension 200.
Yes, ma'am.
And give me your full name.
Joseph Pippin.
J-O-S-E-P-H-P-I-P-P-E-N. Thank you, Mr. Pippin.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Chris in Tampa. Hey, Chris.
But anyway, I want.
Yep.
Hi. Good morning. Is this Joe Pippin?
It is.
Wonderful. Calling from beautiful downtown St. Petersburg.
All right. What can we do for you?
Hey, well, quick question. I have a note from two people. It's a small note, $15,000 note. They've never made a payment since last year. So they've never made payment one. And I had sued them before, and that was, like $5,000 to sue them. With such a small note, I know I cannot go to small claims because it's up to $5,000. And they have really nothing that I can use as collateral. Any suggestions?
Well, if you sue them and they don't really have anything, you have a judgment, that would be good to collect on at some point. But a judgment doesn't stick on their home or anything, their homestead.
Right.
And if you don't
have
anything to,
home.
If you don't have anything to collect on, like a car or a bank account, then you have a worthless piece of paper.
Yeah,
I would encourage. Okay. Do they have any money at all to make you a small payment per month or something?
No, I even said, give me $125 a month.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so I'm just thinking of just taking my losses and calling it a day.
Well, yeah, unless you want to get a judgment in case some money comes into play later on. At least you've got the judgment.
Right. Now, aren't judgments good for like 5 or 7 years and then you have to refile?
You have to renew them. How much money are we talking about?
This one's only $15,000.
$15,000?
The other one was for like... $100,000 and something, and that they paid. This one, no. So
a lot of time. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can pursue up to $5,000 of that in small claims court.
That's an idea.
And then you can do that yourself. And then if you go down to small claims court and get the forms, and then send them a certified letter, this is what you're about to do. Sometimes that shakes a little money loose. They might have money you don't that you don't know about.
Okay, so if I go to small claims for $5,000, I just forget about the other 10. Is that how that works?
Well, no. Not if you do it properly, you could probably still have an open door for the other 10.
Fabulous.
But if you go down and get the forms and fill them out and then send them certified to them, just to let them know you're serious about collecting this money.
Correct.
Sometimes that'll get their attention.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Have an amazing day.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let's go to George in Jacksonville.
Hello?
Hey, George.
Hey.
What can we do for you, sir?
What's up?
Yeah, you...
Oh, is this...
This is Joe Pippin. You're on the air.
Yes. I have a question about a concealed weapons license.
Okay.
And I have a... I've tried to get a concealed weapons license, but I was unable to have a 20-year-old felony conviction in another state.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can do about that?
I don't think so under the current law.
So any felony conviction, no matter how old it is, of this...
Do you might be able to get, do you have multiple crimes on your record or just this one time crime?
A couple of misdemeanors and then this one felony.
Yeah, if you had only had one incident, you might be able to get the felony expunged based on what it was. But if you have multiple things going on, you're not going to be able to get it expunged, and I think you're stuck.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, I can't help further. All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Let's go to Jay in Jacksonville. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Is this Joe? Yes, what can we do for you?
I have a couple of questions regarding an estate. My mom is, it's too far to do anything. They've had a will for years. I've been trying for years to have them to do a trust account,
mm-hmm.
but she's too sick at this point. So I have a quick question. I'm named executor of the will, so my understanding, even though with being executor of the will, I'll need a probate attorney. And the other thing, the way they have it, explain there's a percentage that they want to give to a religious organization.
Mm-hmm.
So how complicated is it? I always wanted them to change it to a lump sum. So I don't know if I have to worry about taking pictures of everything and worrying about a percentage of a sofa, you know what I'm saying? And everything in the house. It's a really kind of a vague will, you know, just.
Well, so where's your mother located?
Jacksonville.
Now, is she mentally okay?
Well, she's declining pretty fast. I honestly, there's times I'd say she's really good, and then there's times I would say she's not. So that's why.
Do you have her power of attorney?
You know, no. She's been getting sicker, and we did meet with someone regarding power of attorney for medical, but not for financial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a complicated situation with her being as sick as she is. So, the last few weeks we've had people suggest that we get it, but it really hasn't happened. So,
mm-hmm.
So my quick question was really about...
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to think of another way to help you. Because if you had a power of attorney, you could probably even create a trust. Because there's a place you can initial on a power of attorney under the new statute to be able to create a document. So if you could even get a simple power of attorney, you could probably convert the present will to a trust. We do this all the time. We just... she's not changing her distribution per se. So we just attach a copy of the will to the trust, and then we start getting assets in the trust to avoid probate. I mean, there's a way to do all that. And she's having a fairly good day. I mean, with some understanding and clarity and focus, we could probably get her to do a power of attorney, and then you could just do everything. You wouldn't have her involved in every little transaction getting that into the trust. All right, but having answered, and I've helped many, many people do it that way, so... if you need some help with that, you know, I'd be glad to discuss it with you. To answer your question, though, are you the only heir beside the charity?
No, I have two other siblings. So.
Okay. No, well, a percentage to a charity is not as hard as you think. You can put like a general value for all the furniture and things like that. I mean, you could put most of that stuff you can't resell, or it has low value. Right. So you put, you know, you put a thousand or two or some estimate down there. You could actually get someone to come in that buys used furniture on a consignment and so forth, and actually do a quick appraisal of everything and just give you a ballpark number of what they would be willing to buy it for. Then you can use that number in calculating the percentage. There are all kind of ways to deal with that matter, but it's not as it's not going to be as hard as you think.
Okay, good. Because, and like I mentioned to my mom, you know, probate, it seems like I for the house, it has to go, I have to do a petition for even probate, correct? And then it goes into probate?
Well, yeah, the attorney's going to have to do it since there are multiple heirs there.
Okay.
But there's a way to avoid all that. It might be just as simple as getting her to sign a power of attorney one day and then get swing you into action on getting assets. The power of attorney would have a provision where you could, she's giving you power to convert her will to a trust, basically, and then get everything in the trust to avoid probate.
Well, I'll see how, if she'd be coherent enough. Again, she sleeps most of the day. And it, you
is
know,
she in a nursing home?
No, she's in hospice and we're doing home care. One of my siblings and myself, we're usually down there on a daily basis. So it's so that's why I know regarding competency and anything. I just don't want to have any problems with anybody to try to do anything if they would want to contest competency or anything, you know.
Well, that's the good part about just getting her on a good day to sign one document, a power of attorney. Uh-huh. And then you could convert her will, basically, into a trust, and you'd be doing most of the work.
Okay. All right. I'll see.
But, Jay, if you have any questions, just call me. We do that kind of work. We also do probate. So generally try to help my clients avoid probate if they can, but, you know, sometimes probate's just necessary, so.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Margie in Bradenton. Hey, Margie.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. How are you? Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can we do for you?
Okay. A while back, I went to a neighbor who's a dentist to have 6 teeth removed. She told me she couldn't put me to sleep, but she could make my dentures for me.
Mm-hmm.
So she made the dentures, uppers and lowers, because I only had 6 teeth left in my mouth. Anyway, and she sent me to another dentist in the same building who put me to sleep and removed the 6 teeth. Anyway, the agreement was $2,400 for uppers and lowers. I told her I'd give her $1,200 for pay half now. I wrote her a check for $1,200 at the beginning, and I'd pay her the other $1,200 at the completion. Well, each time I went in, she kept asking me, did you bring me a check? Did you bring me a check? And finally, I just paid her the other the money, but it wasn't $1,200 more. I had to pay $1,400 more. Anyway, so I paid that, and anyway, I got the teeth out, and the bottom one just wasn't fitting right, and she said, I have to send you back to the other dentist because he has to take some bone out of the out of your gum.
Hey, Margie, I think I'm going to just need to talk to you off the air. This is again, I've got people waiting to call, and this is taking a long time. So, is your basically your question whether or not you owe her the extra money for not doing it right the first time?
Yes, I went to another dentist and that made the plates. They fit perfect, except that I can only use the Fixodent to hold them in because it has zinc in it. You can only use mm-hmm. it once a day, and they won't stay in after 3 hours. And I went back, and they told me that they'll have to put clamps in my mouth.
Oh, Margie, hold on. Margie, if you can get a dentist to say, put in writing that the first dentist did not do a proper job in standards with what should have been done, you can probably get a little relief on the payment. Or it could be adjusted for various reasons. But you're probably going to need one dentist to be able to put something in writing that it wasn't done properly the first time. And, Margie, okay. If you need any further help, just call me off the air, okay?
Okay. Can I have the number?
58, you're calling from Bradenton, so 727-586-3306.
3306.
Yeah, extension 2.
727-586-3306. Extension what, sir?
200.
200. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Vin in Clearwater. Vin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. What can we do for you?
Yes, good morning. This is a situation. It's kind of sad. My friend's son-in-law, he's in his early 40s, and he has a lot of medical issues. He had a shunt in his brain put in, and he cannot work a full-time job. His girlfriend, she was incarcerated. She's out now. She's been out for a few years, and they have a son, a seven-year-old son, and he's been diagnosed with special needs. And I've been trying to talk to him and get connections for him to. He's applied. I don't know. It's very difficult for him to get on Social Security disability because he, like I say, he cannot hold a full time job. I've paid his rent a few times, and his mother in law has also paid the rent. He's been homeless in the past, but. It's been a difficult situation, and I'm just wondering if there's any legal person he could talk to about the situation. About maybe I know this is you're probably dealing with Social Security. I know it's a very difficult situation, but he has very little income. He has to scrounge to try to find work, and he can't hold a full time job because he's got a bad shoulder. He's got all kinds of.
Then if you call me, I'll give you the name of a Social Security disability attorney that I know.
Okay.
And then maybe they can, maybe there's something out there that can be of assistance to him in his circumstances here.
Yeah, because it's very trying. It's a tough situation. And then I tried, but I just can't really do much of anything. I mean, I cannot afford to keep paying his rent. And
I understand.
So.
Yeah, I can give, if you call, I can give you the name of a Social Security disability attorney that might be of some help.
And what number do I call?
727-586-3306.
3306.
Yeah, extension 200.
Extension
200. Uh-huh.
And ask for, or just dial.
Yeah, just ask, I'll call you back. Just ask to speak to me. Joe Pippin.
Bill Pippin, okay. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All right.
I got to get this situation, try to get it taken care of somehow.
All
Thank
right.
you very much.
All right, no
Thank
problem.
You, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Larry in Haines City.
Haines City.
Larry?
Yeah.
What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I didn't get you at first there. I'll make it real short for you. My dad passed away about 5 years ago, and they had a will and all. Well, my mom changed the will and all after he passed away. She's living there, so she has control still. She gave everything to my baby sister. I mean, everything. And we've got four kids, two girls and two boys. Is she legally do that and leave us out of the picture?
Yes, she didn't change his will. She just created her own will. And if the husband and wife owned everything jointly, then the survivor of them, your mother, could make a will to do whatever she wanted to. So unless your mother was incompetent or unduly influenced, she could do whatever she wanted to and who she left her estate to.
Yeah, I know they had a signed deal and on the will. Then when he passed away, like you say, she changed everything, but. I don't know about being unconfident or nothing. I hadn't heard anything from nobody. She lives.
Yeah,
I know
the two most common changes are undue influence or incompetence.
Okay, so basically, my sister can take everything.
Basically, your mother can leave your sister everything.
Yeah, leave us nothing.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty, that's what I'm trying to find out. I thank you very, very much, sir.
All right, Larry. Let's go to Mike and Pinellas. Hey, Mike.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
If I go through on a homestead, if I go through the foreclosure process and I wind up not able to get a waiver on a deficiency judgment, what are the consequences of that as far as owning other property? Can they go ahead and try to attach that to other properties I have?
Probably not your homestead.
Well, the homestead would be the one we're going through the foreclosure process.
Yeah, but if you lost that and there was a deficiency judgment against you and you owned another homestead, then that homestead would be protected from outside creditors.
Well, this is land only, investment.
Land only is not going to be a homestead, so it's not going to be protected.
So they could attach that to that.
Yes, sir.
That judgment. Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Susan in Polk City. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. I have lived with my husband in his house that he had from a previous marriage, and she was deceased for 7 years. And he wants my son and I to move, and I have nowhere to go. Can he legally make me move?
No, you as a spouse have a right. So if he wanted to evict you, he could not do that. Wonderful. I mean, I guess he can make life unbearable for you, but you would have a right.
Well, he does that, but I mean, I have nowhere to go.
Yeah, you might be able to get a family law attorney there in Polk County to protect you somewhat from being evicted.
Okay.
And it possibly, if he mistreats you in any way, you might be able to force him to leave, actually. But you're going to need a good family law attorney to advise you in this circumstance.
Okay. Do you recommend anybody in my area?
If you want to call me off the air, I can maybe find someone for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Susan.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. We're just about at the end of the show. If you'd like to, let me do a couple of things here. If you'd like to have our free estate planning poster sheet, all of our offices and phone numbers are on this large estate planning sheet. Tells you all about your options in estate planning and choices you have. I'd love to mail it to you. On one side of the sheet is 5 articles about estate planning, things you need to know or review or have reviewed, and what your options in estate planning are. On the other side of the sheet has all of our office locations, phone numbers, attorneys, website, radio shows. Let me mail it to you. All you have to do is request it. You can request it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number and request it, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you want to email me a request for it, I need your name and address at, just send it to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to send me a text with your name and address, that's 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. If you are in the Jacksonville area today, that's where I'm located, and you have kind of an emergency situation and need some help, or need to talk to me today, cell number 727-667-3967. Be more than glad to talk to you. All right, so thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If I've helped you today, the best compliment you can give me is to tell someone else about the show, and if they have problems, I'd love to help them as well. Hope you have a safe weekend. So long. See you next week. Bye-bye.